Today on Uncommon Stories, we will explore the ceremony of the 21-gun salute and the sovereign history of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. There was a ceremonial salute for a fallen professional sports figure one time with a twist to the 21-gun salute. Think about what sport and who the sports figure was, and we'll find out if you're right at the end of our stories. It's time to get a little patriotic and talk about our military history and a few of the customs the military uses to honor our dignitaries, the country's representatives, and fallen soldiers who fought for our freedom. The 21-gun salute is one of the most recognized of the military's gun salutes. Cannons or artillery are fired in honor of military and government officials, as well as foreign government representatives to our country. When rifles are used, it is called a three-volley salute. This salute is also used as a special ceremony at funerals for military and public officials. It's interesting that it is called a salute, but that is technically what it is. Instead of a hand raised to the brim of one's hat or forehead, it is a blasting of heavy military-ranged weapons to honor, acknowledge, and welcome esteemed guests of authority. And as loud as these weapons are, there is no doubt to anyone that the guests have been saluted. To talk a little bit about the history of the more common hand salute, it is attributed to actions in the late Middle Ages of one being in an unarmed position as to honor those in power. These actions could be placing the point of one's spear into the ground, presenting firearms, discharging weapons, lowering sails, removing one's cap or headdress, or laying on oars. Once larger weapons and military transports were created, the gun salute became a practice just as the hand salute had. It is believed that the first gun salutes occurred during the 17th century. Once an army had been defeated, they were to empty their ammunition to render themselves defenseless, as to honor the winners of the battle and give safe passage to apprehend the losing army. Naval gun salute tradition was established in the late 16th century, when a battleship or man of war would enter a foreign port and discharge its guns to show that they were empty. This clearly demonstrated its friendly intentions, and the ship or fleet would be welcomed into the harbor. Salute by gunfire is an ancient ceremony. The British were famous for using this ceremony and originally insisted that weaker nations offer the first salute. And it is customary for two nations offering a salute by gunfire to fire gun for gun, thus showing equality of the nations. When first practiced, seven guns was the British national salute, as seven weapons was the standard on a vessel. Interestingly enough, early regulations were created for ship-to-shore salutes, so a ship would fire seven guns. But forts on the shore would fire three shots to every one shot from the ship. This was because early forms of gunpowder kept better on land than on a ship. So the fort must expend an equal ratio of gunpowder to the ship. Since the ship was firing seven rounds, and the fort was firing three to their one, 21 shots total was standard for the gun salute. And thus, the 21-gun salute was born. You may notice that an odd number of guns is used for a military salute. The system is believed to have been created by Samuel Pepys, secretary to the British Royal Navy, as a way of economizing on the use of powder. Before this, it was customary that all guns had to be fired. Odd numbers were chosen, as even numbers indicated a death. A different number of guns are used depending on the ceremony, but the 21-gun salute is the highest national honor. On an intriguing note, Pepys had no maritime experience, but rose to secretary to the British Royal Navy under two separate kings through patronage, hard work, and his talent for administration. Confusion between countries became a problem in the early days of the 21-gun salute, but the British government finally proposed to the United States that salutes would be returned gun for gun. So since the official British salute to sovereign states was 21 guns, the United States adopted the same gun-for-gun return on August 18, 1875. Once the British and the United States had established a national and international 21-gun salute, other countries followed suit. And today, virtually all countries with an established military have one form or another of a 21-gun salute. On a momentous occasion for the United States, November 16, 1776, the West Indian port of St. Eustatius returned a 9-gun salute for the 13-gun salute, representing the 13 colonies, given by the U.S. Brigantine Andrew Doria. At the time, 9 guns was the customary salute to an independent republic. This salute marked the first time another country recognized the United States as an independent republic in a formal ceremony. On another date of interest, in April 1914, during the Mexican Revolution, the Tampico Affair occurred. This started as a minor skirmish, but blew up from a misunderstanding of diplomatic relations. During the incident, 9 U.S. sailors were arrested for entering an off-limit area at a fuel loading station. Despite being released, the U.S. Naval Commander demanded an apology and a 21-gun salute. The apology was provided, but not the salute, giving President Woodrow Wilson reason to order the U.S. invasion of the port of Veracruz. In an amazing twist of fate, the U.S. occupation contributed to the fall of President Victoriano Huerta and helped end the Mexican Revolution. All due to a mistake in protocol and the Mexican Army not offering a 21-gun salute. Today, the 21-gun salute is most noted for the arrival and departure of the president and salutes at every military installation on July 4th at 12 p.m. Also, the U.S. Navy holds a 21-gun salute for President's Day and Memorial Day. But one of the most honored traditions of the 21-gun salute, or three-volley salute, is offered by the 3rd U.S. Infantry, the Old Guard, which is the oldest regiment in the regular army, having been organized as the 1st American Regiment in 1784. One of their duties is to hold a 21-gun salute for state arrival ceremony of a foreign dignitary at the Tomb of the Unknowns in Arlington National Cemetery. And this brings us to our next subject. The Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, also known as the Tomb of the Unknowns, is a monument dedicated to U.S. service members who died in action, but whose remains have not been identified. However, it has come to be thought of as a memorial for all fallen soldiers who fought for this country's freedom. The tomb, located in Arlington National Cemetery in Virginia, is the final resting place for one soldier from World War I, two soldiers from World War II, as that war had an Atlantic and Pacific theater, and one soldier from the Korean War. There was a soldier there from the Vietnam War, but since science has progressed and DNA testing has become available, the Vietnam War soldier was later identified and his remains were moved and sent to rest in a cemetery closer to his family. The slab over the crypt of the Vietnam Unknown was replaced, and although the grave is still there, it was decided that the crypt would remain vacant. The unknown soldier from World War I was selected from 4 unknown soldiers that were buried in France. 2 highly decorated soldiers who fought in World War I chose the soldier to be sent to Arlington Cemetery and be honored to be the representative for unknown soldiers that gave their life for this country. The other 3 soldiers were left in the cemetery in France that honors many soldiers that were killed in World War I. The soldiers from World War II, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War were chosen in similar ways, all by highly decorated soldiers from those wars. These soldiers, except for the Vietnam soldier, are buried behind the sarcophagus that covers the tomb of the soldier from World War I. All of the burial ceremonies were attended by thousands that wished to pay their respects, and they were all given a traditional, honorable military funeral. The sarcophagus, the crypts, and the slabs are made of the finest marble and decorated with symbolic objects. The north and south panels of the sarcophagus each have three wreaths, representing the six major battles fought in World War I. The east panel has three Greek figures representing peace, victory, and valor. And the west panel has an inscription that reads, "Here rests in honored glory an American soldier known but to God." The honor given to these soldiers and to all fallen soldiers doesn't stop at the tomb itself. It is continued each day by the servicemen and women who guard the tomb. The first guard to be posted at the tomb was a civilian guard on November 17, 1925. The cemetery attendants noticed that people were picnicking and loitering around the tomb, so they decided to place a guard during the day to keep people away from the sarcophagus. The military decided to offer its service, as it was a military tomb, and the cemetery began using a military guard on March 25, 1926. On July 2, 1937, the first 24-hour guard was posted at midnight, and the Tomb of the Unknowns has been guarded continuously, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, since that time. The watch does not cease for any reason. Inclement weather nor terrorist attack stops the military from guarding the tomb. The first military guards were troopers from the 3rd Cavalry Brave Rifles, posted nearby at Fort Myer. But on April 6, 1948, when that regiment was reactivated, the old guard, the 3rd Infantry Regiment, took over and has been guarding the tomb ever since. Guarding the tomb as a sentinel is considered one of the highest honors in the military, and their story is as special as the memorial itself. To start with, only 20% of the soldiers who apply to join the old guard and guard the tomb are accepted for training, and only a fraction of those pass to become full-fledged tomb guards. This has resulted in the honorable Tomb of the Unknown Soldier Guard Identification Badge, the third least awarded qualification badge of the United States Army. A guard goes through a rigorous training period. First, a guard must memorize 35 pages of information about Arlington National Cemetery and the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, including the locations of nearly 300 graves and who is buried in each one. Then the trainee must pass a detailed test of 100 questions from a pool of more than 300. They also must pass a uniform test and a test on the guard-changing sequences. With all of this to learn, one can see why so few are chosen, and why it is such an exclusive military regiment. Once a soldier passes these tests and the training to guard the tomb, and serving honorably for 9 months, he or she is awarded the identification badge. Beyond representing the honor of guarding the unknown soldiers, this badge is the only one awarded that can be revoked after the soldier leaves the Army. Fewer than 650 soldiers have been awarded the badge, and unfortunately, 23 have been revoked. This shows how serious the military takes the post of guarding the tomb. Guards are split into teams, rotating 24 hours on, 24 hours off for 5 days, and then taking the following 4 days off. A guard will take an average of 6 hours to prepare his or her uniform made of heavy wool and worn regardless of time of year. The guard also goes through physical training, participates in field exercises, and grooms oneself before their shift the next day. Shifts include a half hour at post during summer months and 1 hour during winter months. During evening and overnight hours, the guard is changed every 2 hours. The changing of the guard is very symbolic and conducted in accordance to Army regulations. The relief or assistant commander escorts the oncoming guard. He or she orders the guard being relieved to pass on your orders to the oncoming guard. The guard being relieved will say, "Posts and orders remain as directed." The oncoming guard will respond, "Orders acknowledged," and the changing ceremony will commence. Having witnessed it in my youth, it is an awe-inspiring event. Guards wear full dress uniforms with the exception of rank insignia. This is so as not to outrank the unknowns, whatever their rank may have been. Guards are truly guarding the tomb, and are not just ceremonial in honoring the unknowns. They will engage people who cross the barriers, or are disrespectful. The actual guarding the tomb is known as walking the mat, as there is a black mat that guards walk on in front of the sarcophagus. The meticulous routine is ceremonial, but is also symbolic and represents honor and respect to the fallen. The soldier, carrying a rifle on the outside shoulder, marches 21 steps south across the tomb, turns and faces east toward the tomb, and stands at attention for 21 seconds. Then he or she turns facing north, changes the rifle to the other shoulder, and stands at attention for 21 seconds. Then marches 21 steps back across the tomb, turns and faces west at attention for 21 seconds, changes the rifle to the other shoulder, turns to face south, and then repeats the maneuver. You may have picked up on the use of 21 steps and 21 seconds at attention in the routine. This is symbolic of the 21-gun salute. In this manner, the guard is continually saluting the unknown soldiers symbolically with the 21-gun salute, the highest military honor that can be bestowed. And this takes place 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of every year, without ceasing. Have you thought about the sports figure that was honored with an unusual twist to the 21-gun salute? It was Payne Stewart, a champion professional golfer who died in a plane crash in 1999, just a few months after winning the U.S. Open Golf Championship. The following year at the 2000 U.S. Open, 21 golfers lined up on the 18th fairway and hit drives into the Pacific Ocean to pay respects to their fallen brother. Well, there we have it. I hope you've enjoyed this edition of Uncommon Stories, and come back next time to listen to more interesting, surprising, thought-provoking, and entertaining stories that are true, but probably are just uncommon. I'm Brad Greer for Uncommon Stories, wishing everyone a wonderful week, and thanks for listening.